The Bible says, I think it's in Hebrews 11 verse 6. I may be wrong, but I think it's there. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay? So, if you look at it from another way, it means that when we live and walk in faith, it's actually pleasing for God. Eh? So, I just shared about we should be a pleasing aroma and we want to please the Lord. So, one thing that really pleases God's heart is faith. You know, so even in that message, I felt like I'm so well prepared now because I tweaked it for 3 times now, this preach. And I'm not going to share that message, but I don't want to share something if I don't feel faith to share it, you know. I want to I'll rather share what I feel faith on for us, and one day we can stand before Jesus and we can actually hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, because I saw your response was not led through structure or your own comfort, but it was actually from a place where you felt faith. So imagine, it's so beautiful that, and it's also such a beautiful picture if you look at what a father heart is with, you know, his children. I think I'm constantly in our season, I'm sure Ardis and Edward, and for those who are in that season with a child, and even you can already sense and almost imagine growing up as they get older, your desire is relationship with your child. And you're not going to be ultimately pleased in look what all the good things I've done, but you're going to be pleased in there's a relationship, and because he loves you, he wants to please and obey you as for who you are. And even this morning, me and Armand, we were driving in the car and we were speaking about this whole thing of, he shared, you know, if we look at the Old Testament of all these rules and all these regulations and the law that needed to be obeyed, which was a good thing, but ultimately, to summarize and to pull it together for us that's living in the new covenant after the Lord Jesus has come and he's laid down his life and he's given us a new life and we're living in a better covenant, the new covenant, and we're actually in a place where we can step into a personal, intimate relationship with God. Yesterday I saw this video on social media where there was this interview and the one guy asked the other person, so what would you say or what would you do if you had 5 minutes with Jesus? And the guy responded with, we can have 5 minutes with Jesus any day. And the guy was he was quiet, he didn't know what to say after that. Because he was trying to picture, imagine Jesus came and you had 5 minutes conversation, what would you say? And he was it was just what do you mean? I can have 5 minutes with Jesus every day. And that's the beautiful thing. It's not just a story. It's a reality of what Jesus has done for us. And I think so quickly we forget that what the significance and the beauty of what Jesus has done for us, eh? Honestly, I get casual. There was this preach that I did on about David when he fell into sin, and then he wrote this psalm after the whole thing with Bathsheba, and then he wrote the psalm and says, Lord, restore to me again the joy of my salvation. Because there was something that he realized. He grew callous. He grew numb, and he forgot the joy of my salvation. And my salvation is not only, it is, but it's not only that one day we can spend eternity forever and ever with our Creator, with the one who loved us so much, the one who still loves us, the one who knew us, the one who called us to belonging. We're on this journey of belonging. We will belong to Him forever, with Him, to dwell with Him for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, in a place of being so like this, but even not just like this. It will be like this, but completely different. It will be, it's, you can't put words to it, but it's it's a person, a relationship, you know. It will be so real and so intimate that we will dwell and live with Him forever. He's called us to belong to Him now so that that can be reality. But it's not only for that time, it's also for this time where we are in this world. We are in this world, but we are not from this world. But while we are in this world, we can actually live in a place where there's a true intimate relationship. where there's intimacy, where our relationship with God is real. It's not just something we know about, but there's really a thing where there's love. And I've shared this story so many times, and as we were having this conversation, then Armand said, because you know, the thing that changed everything is the moment when you realize, when I obey, sorry, I'm just going to take one step back again on the thing of obedience, then I'll get here, it will make sense. So for Saul, the reason he lost his favor from the Lord, God spoke to him and gave him something to do, okay, to destroy. Sorry, there's this. The Lord gave him a commandment, like, I go to that city, destroy the city, capture the king, destroy everything, bring the king back. And he did everything that the Lord said, except one thing. There was this thing of, and here's Angelica's scripture now. I was wondering where it's going to fit in. Shucks. It's in 1 Thessalonians. She took her phone, but it says there, for us to be a pleasing aroma to the Lord, okay? For us to be a pleasing aroma to the Lord, we should obey God and not obey men, and not like have a fear of what the men will think like. And that's what happened with Saul. Saul got influenced by the people around him after their victory, and they said, but what if we take the plunder? We take all these things, but we don't take it for ourselves. It's not like we take it for our own gain to get rich or to eat or to enjoy, but let's do this good deed for God. We sacrifice these plunder. We sacrifice it to God. You know, it sounded like a good idea, but I just said we don't want to follow good ideas. We want to follow the voice of the great shepherd. Because, so that's what Saul did. He gave in, and they did take they obeyed everything the Lord says except that one thing. So partial disobedience is full disobedience. Okay, we can't say I obey 90%, but there's a certain thing now it's okay. The Lord expects from us full obedience. Jesus obeyed God fully in laying down his life. He didn't partially obey the Father. He said, I obey everything. I do nothing unless the Father tells me. He obeyed him to the point of death, even death on a cross. He gave everything. And he said, in the same way, we should listen to what God says, and our heart should be to obey him fully. Okay, does that make sense? And Saul lost his favor because they did that. And Samuel came to Saul and said, listen, you've messed up. You were disobedient. And he's like, I wasn't disobedient. I did everything the Lord said. And I sat, and then he mentioned, and I sacrificed, but I sacrificed it to the Lord. I didn't do it for myself. And then Samuel's response was, what is more pleasing to God? What is pleasing to God? Your burnt sacrifices, your offerings, or obeying the voice of the Lord? He mentions two things, obedience to God's voice and submission. Obedience and submission is the two things. He's like, obedience and submission is what's more pleasing to the Lord than all your good sacrifices and your good deeds. Does that make sense? You know, and to wrap this up in a story, while we were speaking this, Armand said, because the moment that changed everything in was when he realized to obey God, when it came to a place, because he met Jesus as a person, as a living God, and there was a relationship. And because he met this incredible God, he wanted to obey God. And from that place, I will follow the rules, the regulations, if that makes sense, the commandments. It's not like, because it will be burdensome if we just want to follow all the rules and the regulations in what God says without having a personal, intimate relationship. But the moment you realize, because I love that God, I want to. Because God says if we love him, we'll obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And the story for that, I hope you'll remember this. I'm going to end with this now. So the story that changed everything for me was that I like to tell is when I was a student and even started working, you know, in Bloemfontein, when I would go home on weekends to the farm, it was like almost like it was a couple of weeks of hard work, and you are so tired, and we go home and we had this like very comfortable heated under the floor. We had like this heat pad, like this the carpet. We'd lay on the carpet. It had like underfloor heating, and it'd be so comfortable. And we'd lay there in front of the television, and we'd like watch rugby or whatever, and look there. And then, you know, in the evenings, my mom would say, "Hey, can you please help? Like in the evenings, can you please help to just help with the dishes?" And then, you know, in that space, I did not have a good relationship with my mom. There was like, things were not in a great place. So I would either react or respond in a couple of ways. The one reaction would be like, I would always say, obviously, yes. I won't directly say, no, I won't do it. I would say, yes, it's fine. But sometimes I would just keep laying there like, oh, I'll do it later. And I would fall asleep. And then after that, I would go to bed. And I never did it, you know. So I didn't obey my mom in that sense. And obviously, it was hurtful for her because she was preparing the food. She was actually doing a lot of effort. But I was like, I just want to chill, you know, in a sense, selfish thing. But I justified. But I worked hard all week. This is my place. I can chill. You are the parents. I'm the child. I had a bit of that attitude. And then, or later, my mom would ask, can you do the dishes? And I would get up and do it. But I had this grumbling attitude, this thing of, I'm doing it, but the only reason I am doing the dishes is because I don't want to hear afterwards how I disappointed her, or how I made her, you know, I didn't please her heart, or like I made her, you know, or there was like a conversation that, like, why did you say you're going to do it and you just don't do it? I just want to avoid the conflict in a sense. But then the Lord did the miracle. God, I'm going to share this so shortly. The one morning, this is honestly a miracle that happened. So the one morning, there was a time in my life I was spending a lot of time with the Lord. I was seeking Him a lot. And I was sitting in my bed one morning, just like having quiet time. And the Lord took me away in a vision. It wasn't like a dream or a prophetic picture. It was one of those very, very rare moments where I was away in a vision. It was the second time it happened in my life. And in that vision, the Lord showed me where I was a young 4-year-old boy, and there was moments where I was feeling rejected, okay? And from rejection, there was like wounds that happened in my heart, okay? So what happened when I was 4-year-old, my mom, she had a sister. They were like best friends on the planet. It was like, they were like twins in a sense, like inseparable. So my mom's sister gave birth in that year, and then 4 days after the birth, she unfortunately picked up something in the hospital and she died. So then my mom's sister had I think she was 28 years old, so she had a 4-year-old son and then a 4-day-old son, and both of them came to live with us. So for my mom to deal with the hurt that just happened, so that's very traumatic. So for her, she threw all her attention into a sister that passed away to take care of the child. So in a sense, without her intentionally doing it, there was like a sense of, we were feeling a bit rejected because we were everything, and they were amazing parents, okay? We were very privileged by God's grace. But there was this time where suddenly, like, moments where you feel rejected, okay? So that's just the background. So I didn't know about that. And then in that same week, the Lord showed me this happening, like in a vision. I was like, whoa, what just happened? In that weekend, my parents came to Bloemfontein. And my mom said she wanted to have a coffee with me. And we went to have a coffee. And I remember the thing in my head was, oh, what speech am I going to get now? What am I going to hear? All the things I'm doing wrong. You know, it's my own brokenness. And then my mom sat and she started to cry. And I was like, oh, is there going to be like a self-pity thing now coming through? Or like just what's going on? Anyway, but I really just had brokenness in my heart. And my mom said, you won't believe what happened in the week. As the one morning, as I was having Bible study, the Lord showed me how I rejected you without me realizing it when you were 4 years old. I thought I was going to fell on the floor. Like honestly, it was one of those, it's ridiculous. You know, it's like, it's supernatural. You know, I didn't speak to anyone about what happened, my vision that I felt, my mom. So it was this moment, and we both started to cry. Okay, we were crying. It's like supernatural, divine intervention of God. And in that moment, we could share our hearts and open our hearts. And there was, in the spirit, full reconciliation. We prayed for one another. We forgave one another. And suddenly, the relationship was restored, like healed. Okay, we never, like me and my mom, we never had like fights and outbursts and screaming and stuff like that. It was always in a sense good, but there was something that was still like an area of brokenness. That makes sense. And something crazy happened. So when I went home the next time, I was still laying there very comfortable on the carpet with the underfloor heating. I can't remember if I watched something, but anyway, I was so comfortable. It was winter time. And my mom came to me and asked, "Hey, Buta, will you please help with the dishes?" The next moment, I was on my feet, joyfully wanting to go do the dishes. And my question is, what changed? Okay, there was like a response that was completely different. What changed? The thing that changed was before our relationship wasn't a good place, it felt a burden to obey the commandment or the task, whatever you want to say it. Because the relationship wasn't in a good space, it felt a burden to go and do what I knew I wanted to do. But when the relationship was restored enough, we felt a sincere love for one another. So the need and the desire to do dishes or not to do it didn't change. I hated to do dishes just as much in that moment. It's not like suddenly I like to do dishes. I still today, I don't like doing the dishes, okay? Especially in winter if I'm comfortable in my bed. I don't want to go up and in the cold and start doing dishes. But the thing that changed is because I loved my mom and there was a love, that desire to like please her and to obey her made me even want to do something that I don't want to do. Does that make sense? It's like because that thing was there, suddenly I was like, I want to do that. And that's just a picture of, and that's even a picture of belonging. Because in knowing that we belong to God, we belong to Him. He's called us to belong to Him. It's by the greatest love that there's ever been and ever will be that we can belong to Jesus. And as we belong to Him, there's relationship. And you know what? When there's good relationship, I want to spend time with those people. If I love someone, I want to spend time with them. Isn't that the truth? Eh? If I truly love someone, I want to spend time with them. And what happens if we spend time with people? We get to know them. We share our hearts, but I also listen. And that's the thing that I want to get to us now. It's also listening. And the thing I feel God is stirring for us. Next week, if it's God's will, I'll share more. Because I wanted to go on, like last week I shared on, we were called to belong and we belong to God, okay? I wanted to continue this week on, but how does that practically look like for us? If we belong to God, what the Bible says and shows us, but we also belong to one another. How does that practically look like? If we belong to God, if there's truly belonging to God, and if we are rooted in Him, if we belong to one another. Because God's greatest commandment is to love Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And just as important, okay, that's what it says. Like, just like that. Not less, it says just like that. To love your neighbor, to love people. It's the cross love. Because there's a love between me and God, there should be an overflow. That's the previous title I actually had for this preach before I changed it was the overflow. Wacht, no, the joy. Wacht, the overflow of the joy from His presence, something in the line of that. Because I'm with Him and I belong to Him and I spend time with Him and I'm rooted with Him and I'm connected with Him and there's a relationship with Him, there will be an overflow, but there will be a joyful overflow. It's not a burdensome overflow. If like to ask, what will the love look like between all of us sitting here between one another? What will it look like? There should be a joy in my heart to say, when I go and pick up someone this morning, when I pray for someone, when I do something, it should be from a place, because I love Jesus, I can't help but loving you. It's like, it's a natural thing that should happen now. It's because I love God. God does something in my heart, because if we love God, we will love His people. It's like you can't separate the two. We cannot separate that. And if you don't feel like that this morning, this amazing news. The news is God wants to change your heart. Imagine that. How beautiful is that? We can come before the Lord and we can ask Him, Lord, come and change my heart. Because let's be honest, like even for me, even often in ministry, the enemy comes and my flesh comes and my selfishness comes and my pride comes and worries comes and anxiety comes and all these things. It's a reality for us. And it comes to steal that joy, that love, that intimacy. Okay? It steals that. And often our hearts gets to that place. If you ask me, do you feel like going to love people? Sometimes my answer is no. Honestly, no. Sometimes I will do it because I know that's what the Lord wants. But God's heart for us. So we won't be in this place always perfectly. But there's certain things that we can do and we can grow into a place where most of the time we can be in that place of such a beautiful, healthy relationship with Jesus that we can't help but to want to love one another. That it's a love away from ourselves. The Bible says there's no greater love than He is willing to lay down His life for the sake of others. Exactly what Jesus has done, eh? That's what I shared on last week in order for us to belong. So there's my preach this morning. I didn't plan on this, but I'm trusting from that. So our response is going to be worship. The plan was to worship and to respond in another way. We're going to respond in worship. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to actually maybe just create a space. If there's anyone who want to get some feedback, then the worship team's going to come. We're going to worship the Lord and we're going to spend time before the Lord. And even in worship, if you feel something on your heart, come and speak to me. And if it's God's will, I'll see what the Lord wants to do. Maybe there will be a space even afterwards where we can pray and minister to one another. Like just as God leads us. We belong to Him, and because we belong to Him, we are sheep that listens to His voice. And as we listen, we can even ask, Lord, is there something even on your heart for someone here today? And maybe we can have a time where we minister to one another. Won't that be beautiful, okay? We'll see what the Lord does. That's just like, even that is before the Lord now. Lord, please lead me. Please guide us. But I trust just in what I shared now. So we'll continue in this, like, how will it look practically? But I felt even like just this now, the Lord says, before we go there, I think if I shared this morning, maybe it would have been heard a bit like, okay, there's things to do. And I don't want to let us hear these things to do. I want us to hear, listen, because I love Jesus, I can obey Him. I can be like, I can avoid falling into that trap Saul has fallen into. You know, even if I look at Saul's life, I'm like, Lord, I've made the Saul mistake many times in my life. And then I'm just like, thank you, Jesus, for your grace, because the consequences on Saul's life was tough. It was severe. And we've all have missed that. Okay? So may we realize that God's grace is incredible. His mercy is incredible. The Bible says, for every one of us, each one of us, has fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then it says, because of His grace, it will lead us into righteousness, into holiness. And what it means is, if I understand God's grace correctly, it means this. Well, let me share this. Grace is to receive something you can never deserve. Mercy is to not get something that you do deserve. So by God's mercy, we don't immediately get hell. That's actually what we deserve. We deserve hell. But God says, I'm not giving hell to you. I'm giving you a free opportunity to choose me. Okay? And because of his grace, he saves us. Not because of our works again. Not because of my good deeds. But because of what he's done. And from that place again, I'm so grateful. And I'm so aware that I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. And through realizing that, we know that God has given us his grace by the greatest act of love the world has ever seen and will ever see. It's like, it's a picture of his love. It's because he loves us that he saved us, that he died for us as a perfect God. And he's given us access to the Father. He's given us, he gives us what we can enter his throne, approach his throne of grace and mercy with boldness, with confidence we can go to the Father. Jesus is the way we can, he's the way we go through to the Father. We can go and receive mercy. We can dwell with him. We can have a 5 minutes any time of the day with him. It's amazing. That's love, eh? That God has died for us so that we can have that now and even forever. So there should be a response of gratefulness in our hearts to say, Lord, I'm so aware. I don't deserve that. I didn't do anything that you died for me. You died for me even before I was born. While I was still a sinner, the Bible says he died for us. But the response should be, because I realize your grace is so big, I want to love you and I want to obey you. And we can listen to his voice. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice of the Lord. It's through, yes, he speaks through scripture. It can be a written word what he says. But the context there is the word voice of the Lord. It's actually, there's two root words in the Greek Hebrew. The one is like a written word. The other word is like a spoken word. But even the written word comes to life through the Holy Spirit speaking to us through his word. But sometimes it's even waiting on God like this. And God says this to you. God says this to you. Or God convicts us, which is also a great thing, and we repent. Or God says, hey, go and pray for that person. Hey, go and give that to that one. Or hey, go encourage that person. I'm getting a bit now in what it practically looks like. We'll go more into that next week. I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to ask you guys, and we're going to respond in worship, and then we're going to land the meeting in there. Okay, let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one building your church. You are in control. And that you are a good Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know you are the great shepherd. And we as your sheep, for us, that belongs to you and can belong to you, we can listen to the voice of the great shepherd. Jesus, we love you, Lord, and thank you that you speak to us. And that you want to speak to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we listen to your voice now. And may we obey. May we obey because we love you, Lord. And if there's any person you're feeling, they're not in that space. I pray, Jesus, in this time of worship, that you will come and break that. That you will come and break hopelessness, break guilt, shame, condemnation. And that you will just give us such a fresh revelation and perspective and knowing and assurance of your incredible great love for us, that you've called us to belong to you, and that nothing we do or have ever done can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, Lord, will ever separate us from your great love. Even if we've messed up, thank you that we can come back to you, and we can just call out to you and seek you and reach out to you, and we will always find you. Like a loving father with open arms, with the prodigal son, going away, knowing when he came back, there was this beautiful moment, even where you were running, the father was running to his son. Thank you, Lord, that's a picture of your heart for us. Oh, Lord, may we as a church live from that place. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe the worship team can come to the front, if that's possible. Can you guys join us? Sorry, the kids were supposed to join Bongani and Rudaine. I'm so sorry, next time, eh? This just went completely different than we planned. I didn't even record, but it's okay. Let's take a moment. I want to like, you know, as they're preparing, is there anything that you guys have felt so far? We're going to continue to like wait on the Lord and seek the Lord, but is there anything while you were quieting your hearts and praying, anything that stood out so far for you? Anyone? Ridai.
So he was speaking to me about the hope of eternity set before us and just awakening like this gratitude for salvation again once in my heart, because yeah, if we have nothing in this life, at least we have Jesus, and like that's the most important thing. That's what you need to latch on to. That's what you need to cling on to. And you know, this life isn't always great, but there's a day that's coming that there will be no more tears, and the sun will wipe away every tear. And you know, there's this scripture in Song of Songs that says, or like when the bride found her beloved, she cling to him and she didn't let go. And the Lord was just speaking to me like, once you find Jesus, cling to him and don't ever let go. Yeah, so that's just what was on my heart.
Beautiful. It was exactly even on what I just shared now also. Anyone else that want to share? No.
So yeah, I just experienced the scripture of Isaiah 43. I just really feel like Jesus really wants to remind us about who he is for us. So it says that the heading is Israel's only savior, but you can put your name instead of Israel. So it says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. Yeah, and I just really feel like, may that be a reminder to all of us. Like, God is always there. He always loves, and he's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can redeem us, and he's the only one that can comfort us. Nothing in the world out there can ever be as good as God and Jesus is for us.
Beautiful.
I just want to add on what Eno said. So in the mom's room, it was us three with our kiddies, and each mom knows exactly what her baby needs. So yeah, Eno was there with the dummy for Alanay, and then she grabbed the burp cloth, and I fed Daniel some yogurt, and you know, as each mom knows exactly what their baby needs for each cry that they like cry out, God also knows each one of us, and for each cry of our heart, he knows what we need, and we that we can actually go to him, because he will be the one who will satisfy that need. Because we are in that sense like babies, like we can only cry out to God, and we can't fulfill that thing that we need, you know, by ourselves.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone else that wants to share maybe what you felt? Okay, great. We're gonna go into a time of worship, and we're just gonna worship the Lord, and maybe even after worship, we'll have some music ready to just continue waiting on the Lord. We'll see as the Lord leads us. But if you feel like just worshiping the Lord, go for it. If you want to make time actually just to like wait on the Lord, let's see how the Lord leads us. But maybe we can all start to respond to worship Jesus. That's a beautiful way to go to him. There should be a response in our hearts. Because I love the verse, and there's a song also about it, that we enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving. So there's a posture first going to the Lord and saying, we're coming to praise you. We're entering through your gates with praise and thanksgiving. So maybe that's a good place to start, to say, Lord, we're coming now and we're thanking Jesus. We're praising Jesus for who he is. And I love the saying that says, if you ever feel like you need a reason to praise Jesus, the fact that he has died on the cross for us will always be more than enough reason. So we look to the cross. And if you feel like you're in such a bad space this morning, or there's problems, there's one thing that surpasses it all. The fact that Jesus has died for us on the cross is enough reason. You know, that gives us that eternal perspective and an eternal hope to know that Jesus has given his life, and we come to him with praise and thanksgiving. And then if you feel anything on your heart, bring it to me. And I'm also not sure what's going to happen, but we're going to praise and worship the Lord now. So, great. If one of you can put the lights off for us, and I'm going to pray, and then you can stand up and we're going to worship Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, that we can know because of what you've done, Jesus, by your incredible great love, by being the perfect sacrifice, the spotless lamb who was slain. Lord, you've made a way. You've tore the veil. You've broken the power of sin over our lives. Lord, you saved us from a place to be in bondage to sin into a place that we can belong to you as family, Lord. That we can belong into knowing you are our Father. Jesus, you are our King. You are our friend. Holy Spirit, you are our Comforter. We can belong to your royal priesthood, Lord. Into a body of believers, into a family, into your army, Lord, and that we can know, Jesus, there's a beautiful thing that we can belong to you, Lord. And it's all by your perfect work that you've done, Lord, on the cross, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we'll respond from that place now to worship you, and that we'll come to you now, that we'll make a choice to say, we will enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Regardless of any struggles or battles or worries we might feel, we will choose to respond to say we worship you and we praise you. And Holy Spirit, we just come and say whatever needs to happen after that, lead the way, have your way, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.